Donald Trump, you're asking Americans to trust you with their future. Let me ask you, have you even read the United States Constitution? I will gladly lend you my copy.
It was a moment that's been hard to forget. In the middle of the kind of polished political speeches that typify a national convention, a quiet man, accompanied by his even quieter wife, rose to challenge the way a leading presidential candidate had been dismissing the service and sacrifice of Muslim Americans. Since then, Khizr Khan has defied the heartless conservative backlash to his message and has continued speaking out, refusing to allow his family's ultimate sacrifice to be dismissed. And as we all wrestle with what patriotism demands of us as Election Day draws near, I am honored to welcome Khizr Khan to State of Belief Radio. Mr. Khan, thank you for being with us.
Mr. Getty, I am so honored to be speaking with you and through you with your audience. I am so honored and so delighted and so humbled. Thank you.
You made a simple but very powerful point at the Democratic National Convention. I wish you would just summarize that point.
The purpose of going to the convention was to pay tribute to our son, but prior to accepting that invitation, we would visit our friends and their children would ask us the question about being thrown out of this country and not being interested in studies and worried and not eating well, not sleeping. So that had bothered us, and that is what was expressed in that speech at the bottom of our heart. And behind all of that humble speech and speaking and waving the Constitution was care for others, that my faith and other faiths have taught us that in this life, our Creator assigns all of us care of others. So we spoke with that in the back of our mind.
Mm-hmm. When did you become so knowledgeable of and devoted to the Constitution?
Well, I'll tell you, I was an undergrad student in Pakistan when I took a course called Comparative Study of the Constitution of the World. I read the Constitution in that course of Soviet Union, of Germany, Magna Carta for British system, and Constitution of United States. At that early age, I could not pass without my eyes welling and my hands trembling when I read the Declaration of Independence, the difficulties that this nation had gone through to come together to gain its independence, very similar to a few hundred years afterwards, we had the same difficulty in gaining our independence. And that caught my attention and my interest. So I had been a student of the history of the United States and its Constitution ever since. I am not a constitutional lawyer or a scholar. I am a mere student of Constitution. But it means so very much. I have read it again and again, and I am so honored to be living and receiving the goodness of this country, goodness of this nation, under the foundation of the values enshrined in Constitution.
Do you find anything in the United States Constitution that contradicts or compromises your Muslim faith?
Not at all. It grants me equal dignity and equal rights regardless of my faith. It gives me far much better rights than I have in the Muslim world. It grants me the right to practice my religion, practice my freedoms without any hesitation, without any burden, without any restriction. I have not neither noticed nor felt and I continue to live. It's been 35 years. Not a single day has gone by that ever we have encountered any restriction or any contradiction. Not at all.
What do you think many of the American people don't understand about Islam that they need to understand in order to provide all people the same rights, privileges, and freedoms that you understand should already be guaranteed?
We are testament to the goodness of America. Most America understands their values, understands this equal dignity to all and consideration of all faiths equal. It is only a small number, a minority, that has gotten the definition of Muslims and Islam through some unfortunate events that have taken place, regrettably some violence, regrettably some activities by a small number of Muslims. I cannot exclude them. My religion doesn't allow me to exclude them from faith, but they have practiced violence and the act of violence on innocent people that is against the spirit of my religion. So I implore my brothers and sisters in the United States to look beyond that. They have hijacked, because of their limited understanding of their own faith, all this violence, all this terrorist activities outside the United States and here is not part of my faith. My faith says, and this is part of the last sermon of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and he said, hurt no one and you will not be hurt. He insisted on equal dignity of all faiths, and that Muslims are bound to must treat all other faiths with equal dignity. Somehow, this small number of people in other parts of the world have totally misunderstood or intentionally ignored the peaceful teaching of my faith. So I request those friends that have gotten to know Islam and Muslims through these unfortunate events or media reporting of those events to go beyond that. There are 1.6 billion Muslims in the world. They all condemn this violence that is taking place. It's only 80 to 90,000 people that live in the tribal mentality that they have kept their emphasis on fighting, on exclusion, on not treating with equal dignity of other faiths and other religions. That is totally against the spirit of Islam.
I know all too well personally the relentlessness with which the political right in this country goes after those that it sees as its enemies. How have you handled the backlash that you've experienced, your wife faced? How do you continue speaking out as you do and knowing those critics are there?
Sir, we are fully cognizant of that. But I tell you this, and I gain strength from people like yourself, sir, and your audience. There are more good people in this country than those that have limited vision of the leadership of this country. So whenever we meet, whenever we are on streets, aeroplane, airports, personally folks are reaching out to us, sending us letters of encouragement. There are only handful of letters of discouragement, and we can identify that letter as soon as it arrives. The sender will not put his or her name on return address, and will not put their name at the bottom of the letter. And that speaks to the moral courage of that gesture of dislike, gesture of hatred. On the other hand, the people that are encouraging us to continue with our message of emphasizing the goodness of this country, the values of this country, is such an enormous number. Our tables are full. We are receiving presents and gifts of scripture, prayers, highlighted in Bible, the texts, Old Testament, New Testament, Holy Quran. They're just amazing outpouring of love. So we are heartened that we should continue our journey in the goodness of this country. But we extend the hand of understanding their point of view as well. They are our brothers and sisters, and the reconciliation cannot begin without extending an open heart and open courtesy and open acceptance of their point of view, but holding hand, as common mission is to live, survive happily under the foundation, under the goodness of this country. So we are heartened, in fact, and we will continue our message, which is that now that the elections are going to be over, the whole country needs to come together, remove the division, and realize the problems. There are some genuine issues. There are some genuine problems, and the dialogue should begin. I was reading the difficulties, the history, and the dialogue that took place when our Constitution was being framed, when our Bill of Rights was being framed. What a difficulty our forefathers had, disagreements they have had. But at the bottom of their hearts and at the bottom of their struggle was goodness for the country, goodness for the nation, and how to set the wonderful foundation that we continue to enjoy even today. So I remind everybody that this Constitution, the values that we cherish so much, didn't come together without little difficulty. There had been disagreements, arguments to a level much greater than what we face today, but at the end of the argument was that we wish our country well, we wish our nation well. Let's come together and continue the dialogue, and through dialogue we deal with our differences. I share a simple event that took place just a few days ago. I was sitting in an aeroplane on seat number 8. Two gentlemen, two wonderfully distinguished gentlemen, got up from seat number 1 and 2 and came to me in the plane and said, "Mr. Khan," I said, "Yes." Said, "Mr. Khan, we are Republicans. We want you to please get up from this seat and come and sit at our seat and let us treat you. We want you to know that we have exactly same respect for you and for your gesture of reminding us our enshrined values in the Constitution and the goodness of our country. We respect you equally, Sam. Please come and sit at our seat." It heartens me to see, and this is not one example, I just a story of the goodness of the people regardless of party affiliation. So we cling on to those sentiments and that goodness of American people, and that is where lies moving forward, accepting the new arrival, accepting the refugees, and opening your heart with understanding of other faiths and Muslims. Muslims are as patriotic as in Arlington Cemetery. Whenever I go to pay a visit to my son, Captain Humayun Khan, there are 5 other Muslims right next to one another in the cemetery, section 60. They're all Muslims. They're Gold Star families that come there, and we meet them. And there are others as well that come there. We are all for the defense of this country, for the defense of the values of this country, and defense of this nation. And there are about 5,000 active duty serving Muslims in the armed forces that defend this country on daily basis. And the nation is realizing, slowly and gradually, this nation is, and this country is realizing the contribution that we all equally continue to make regardless of our faith.
I can't end the interview without asking you to say just a word to the American people on the eve of this election. What are your thoughts today about that?
Sir, I am first so honored. Nowhere else in the world this would be happening, that this person that is still learning English, is still learning how to speak correctly and all this, is given this opportunity to address through your esteemed network and with your audience, have this conversation. No one, this incident of my speaking with you, sir, it speaks volume about this country's values, about this country's goodness. We need to focus on that. We need to move forward. We need to remember the values when we go to vote. We remember that how we can continue to strengthen these values. These values make us envy of the world. These values make us show the better way to live to this mankind. Believe me, I have experienced it. I have seen the world. The rest of the humanity looks towards the United States because of its values, because of its goodness, to lead the world, to lead the humanity to a better direction. and we should be cognizant of electing our leader with those values which will move us forward, enhance our leadership in the world, and show the rest of the world a better way. And I am very hopeful that America will make the right decision, because America realizes its values. America is very appreciative of the candidates that enhance those values, that include everyone and move us forward for the sake of better humanity, for the sake of better leadership of the United States. And I'm so grateful that I am speaking with you. I'll end this conversation. 15th of December of 2016. Is 225th anniversary of Bill of Rights. Washington, D.C. is celebrating that 225th anniversary. Original Bill of Rights are going to be on display. And this speaks to the goodness of this country. This speaks to the wonderful value of this country. Guess who has been invited to speak to that event? This humble citizen of this country. I am a testament to the goodness of this country. Nobody can convince me that there is malice in the hearts of Americans. Our Creator has created this country for a purpose, and that purpose is being fulfilled by showing the leadership, showing the goodness of this country.
Mr. Khan, you are the embodiment of a person of faith who is also a real patriot. I can't express enough my appreciation for you taking the time to be with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you very much, sir. God bless you, and may your message resonate not within the United States, but throughout the world. Thank you very much.